It's the 26th of something in the jail.
Thought we'd never get to this.
It starts the same way every time, doesn't it?
We're half an hour late already.
26th.
People to go, places to see, things to do.
26th of January 2017. John Fleming, Kate Copstick, Gratitude Club podcast with...
Tom Tuck.
Why the H?
Do you want the long story or the short story?
Medium.
Medium, yeah. With all the story that's quite succinct, but with all the funny bits in it.
I was
That's too long already.
Yeah, no umming and ahhing.
Too,
please,
long, too long.
I was a pretentious child.
Excellent, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Now, you've grown into quite a pretentious adult.
You weren't a pretentious child. I've read your Wikipedia.
I've read your Wikipedia.
All over the place, child.
But that's not pretension or otherwise.
I think being born abroad is pretentious. Being born in the continent is bad enough.
We normally have
colonies.
I was born in Leeds.
Well, yeah, colonies,
dear.
Like I said. Yes.
Well, yes.
Crikey, and you've recovered so well.
Yes.
So what happened in Bangladesh then? Don't tell me. I know, it's like something from the Brothers Faversham. You were sold into slavery by your parents and ended up in Bangladesh.
Well,
working as a sex slave. And carry on.
The format here is you don't get to speak, just she speaks.
Well,
unless he interrupts.
I have met Copstick before.
Well, yes. And lived to tell the tale. Now, come along. What took you to Bangladesh? Don't say an aeroplane.
My father's job, civil engineer, working on water infrastructure projects.
In Bangladesh? They don't need more water in Bangladesh.
Need pipes to move the water out of the way.
It rains the whole time.
But then latterly working on flood action plans, which is the same sort of skill set of...
You see, something like that needs to have a more impressive name. Civil engineer sounds unbelievably dull, but it's not. You get to go all over the world.
Often,
but
they've got cities here, so a lot of civil engineers just stick.
Really?
Well, my dad's first job was at the GLC, as was.
Really?
And then he hasn't...
Red Ken.
Yes, well, but long before Red Ken, I think.
Crikey.
In the 60s.
Crikey.
And then he was a mason. Then he moved...
Like Freemason?
Yeah. And then...
Is that a full-time job?
No, but he was. He was civil engineer in the GLC, then he joined the Masons, then... moved to Africa.
Ah, he was running away.
Yeah.
This is an episode of the Brothers Faversham.
And he has never worked in the country since.
This is an episode of the Brothers Faversham.
Who are the Brothers Faversham from?
They're brilliant.
A listener in Guatemala.
They're brilliant. I'm huge, huge, huge fan. It's what I've never worked out.
Who are they?
About you see, is that your solo shows are marvellous. They're wonderful. They're funny. They're warm. They're intelligent. They're great.
Quotes for the posters.
But they're nothing like the Brothers Faversham.
The Brothers Faversham, well, the Penny Dreadfuls, are brilliant. They became brilliant. I don't think they were always brilliant, but they became brilliant. Brothers Faversham, fantastic, clever, incredibly funny, brilliantly performed, and yet you've got yourself embroiled in a pile of middle-class, pseudo-intellectual wank.
Oh, this is you
like
going on. You going about the
alternative comedy,
which when you came to review it, you left before the end. You dipshit.
I had to.
Hold on, you haven't said
it.
The end, you don't get to publish a review.
I know that is true, and it's the only time.
You haven't said the full name yet. What is it called?
The Alternative Comedy Memorial Society.
But you see, you only need a memorial society if it's dead, and it's not dead. But anyway, yes, it was the only time, I absolutely agree, only time, and I did say in the review that I'd left early, it was that or turn to physical abuse.
Why?
Well, the thing with the SMS is we allow people to do something new every time.
It was no, that's fine.
To them, a new bit, an experiment, and every slot only lasts 7 minutes, so...
All of that, I'm absolutely... thrilled about.
I have to say, the show you came to wasn't especially strong. It did get better after you left, but...
Well, it couldn't have got worse. it was just the conceit. And I do think that the one thing comedy can never be is smug. And I felt that it was unbearably, overwhelmingly,
do you mean the
suffocatingly, stultifyingly smug.
Don't mince your words.
Do you mean the conceit of us coming on shouting a failure and the audience shouting back a noble failure?
That was part of it. But And then you know, the thing is, because I was looking it up today, and the list of comics that you've had on is quite mind-boggling. Mm. Brilliant, brilliant comics.
Yeah.
I just...
And who have all enjoyed it, I think.
Bloody brilliant well, comics. And you're a brilliant didn't. Comic, and I'm struggling to find... I just don't know where it all
so,
went.
So you're an absolute hatred of this...
Well, come and see it in London.
I mean, to be fair, when was that? That was like quite a few years ago.
That was...
And I haven't seen it since.
3 years ago, probably.
And is it only 3 years?
Gosh, maybe four. Maybe four.
It seems like another life.
It was six years ago, next month that we started the show in London.
Mm-hmm.
When we started, it was at the New Red Lion.
Why did you start it? When I haven't seen anybody on there, admittedly, you know, my wide experience of it being, I think I've seen it like 3 times, including that once in Edinburgh.
I've never
seen anyone on there that I would call particularly massively alternative. You know, if I think alternative, I think Michael Brunstrom. I mm-hmm. think Candy Gigi. I think, you know, those kind of acts.
Brunstrom's been on, he'll be on again.
Marvel, he's a genius.
Candy Gigi, I don't think will be on again.
Oh, she didn't go down well.
No, she did all right. She just didn't clean up after herself.
Ah!
And you,
oh, God, transgressing the unwritten rule. And there's a lot of clearing up after Candy Gigi.
Just politeness, like, don't leave cream on the stage.
Exactly. And there's quite a lot
depends
of,
what the show is.
Quite a lot of fluids. I mean, even just in terms of...
Ben Targe is a board member. Of the society, and
he'll get interested in it eventually.
You see, there's a lot of this. There's a lot of this. Sad attempts, well, sad punning humour, which is John's main contract. Apart from obfuscating the point of the entire podcast, these you know occasional attempts. Shit.
There is a point at which we think it's a mistake.
Ah. I knew there was something.
Indeed, yes. Anyway, getting back to the subject.
Will be a point. We'll find a point. By the end of the podcast,
the reason we started ATMS, Luke and I, is John Luke Roberts, who is alternative. He's very alternative. Have you seen his solo shows?
One of them.
Which one?
Did
you walk out halfway through?
No, I didn't walk out. I honestly, the only show out of which I have ever walked was the ACMS. And I mean, it's...
Okay, that's going on the poster.
Because I always think, you know, they might have a...
Unique, one of a kind.
Brilliantly funny and genuinely alternative. The Guardian. I walked out, Kate Gopstick.
You know, because I always do. I always think, well, they might have a big finish. Or, you know, it might be a slow build. Or...
You're just used to porn, aren't you?
There's a lot to be said.
Well, they, that run, it was in stand one,
yep.
That you saw it, there was almost every show had these insane highlights. There were days, we had one of the permitted heckles at the show,
mm-hmm.
That's a Tim Vine joke, surely. Yeah. And you're allowed to heckle at any point, as long as you get two from four on the list. So we got Tim Vine to come down.
Excellent, very funny.
We told him about it, and he...
Brilliant.
Just did setups. Didn't do any punchlines, so no one could do it. And so it was 7 minutes of like, it felt like a high wire act.
Now you see, that's funny.
Yeah. No, but most of the shows had moments like that.
I just dropped in on a. All right. Is it you doing Edinburgh again?
Yes, I think we've just confirmed we're doing 4 nights a week at midnight with Bob. See.
Or with Bob.
Bob Slayer.
Yeah.
Are you doing in the Hive?
Did you get it in London?
No, in the other one, his new one.
Oh, the one he stole from Peter Buckley Hill.
Cellar Monkey.
Yeah.
No, he didn't Don't steal even it from them that. Because the it's now being run as a year-round comedy
yes,
club.
Yes, I know.
But
it's a great space.
So the PBH had it before the people took it over the
well,
thing.
Well, no,
so
it was they'd taken it over, but they let him use it for Edinburgh last year. Because upstairs was used as an art gallery, and he used it downstairs. I still regard it as Bob stealing it from Peter Buckley.
This is because she doesn't read my blog. She didn't read the blog about this. Carry on.
Do you read his blog?
Yeah. Occasionally.
Really? Mm. Well done. Are you doing a solo show this year?
Yes.
Excellent. Tell us all about it.
I previewed it 3 times already.
Already? It's January.
Once at last year's Fringe.
It's January.
Once at last year's Leicester Festival, and once at last year's McCuntless.
So it's really last year's show.
Well, I was thinking about doing it last year, and then I didn't.
Why is
Other
it so
than 3 times.
Why is it so complicated to preview?
I wanted time to write it.
Which, really? You write shows.
This one, I think, is going to need it.
So you performed it at last year's Edinburgh, but need time to write it for next year's Edinburgh.
Yeah, like a rough version.
Oh. Crikey.
Very rough.
And why is it so complicated?
Because I want to sort of pull off a sort of big rug pull at the end.
Ooh.
And
a wig.
See what I mean? There we go again.
I mean, it might be a merkin.
Feel free to smack him. And, you know, when any of the... Thank you. Well done. Although not there.
Audio slapstick.
Yeah. It'll catch on eventually. What was it? Yes.
That wasn't me.
No, I was just... Yes, the drug thing. Yeah. So, you can't tell us anything about it then?
I can't tell you what the end will be.
Oh, but people saw this last year.
Yeah, but there's a bit which I make them promise not to tell.
Oh, that's going to work.
Promise not to tell what?
Well, I make them promise not to tweet about it. I make them take a photo and then promise not to... That's probably even saying too much, but
really?
It's about offence and religion and possibly about drag.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
You're dragging up. I knew the girlfriend's bra and panties would come into it somewhere.
Well, you are wearing the girlfriend's scarf.
Well, yeah.
And nothing else.
The times I've done it, I have both got completely naked and been in a dress partway through the show.
Excellent. You interest me strangely, Mr. Tuck.
We've all been there.
Well, I don't wear dresses.
Anyway, so you're previewing this at this year's Leicester as well?
Nope. No, I'm not going to Leicester this year.
Oh. You're going straight to Edinburgh?
Yep, probably.
Well, not straight, he's dressing as a woman.
Where are you going to be on? Where might we see you naked wearing a dress?
No, I quite liked being with Bob at Dragonfly last year.
It's a lovely little venue, isn't
it? Yeah, real fun.
The bar does really good mojitos.
And you get a discount as a performer.
Really? Hello?
25%
off. Oh, my God.
Excellent. Already reasonably priced cocktails.
I'm going to go now and write a one-woman show for Edinburgh. It'll be worth it just for the drink. Actually, you could probably work that out, depending on how much you generally drink. If you're a cocktail drinker, like myself, sophisticated woman...
One more cock than cocktail. I could arm wrestle you.
If you could work out, depending on how many mojitos you were planning on drinking during the festival, whether it would be financially worth your while to write and perform a show at the Dragonfly just to get the discount.
Well, probably, because you don't...
Because they're not cheap, to be fair.
Depending how much you spend at other venues to have your show there, I think it's definitely cheaper.
Absolutely.
Because it's a very good deal with Bob.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a flat fee to go in the programme and then a tithe of 10%.
A tithe?
I've lost interest in this. The real reason he's here is because he's in the Penny Dreadfuls, as you mentioned, and he's plugging, what is it?
It's the volumes 1 and 2 of our plays. Because we stopped after Brothers Faversham season 2.
Yes.
Which was commissioned by Radio 7, as was.
Seven?
Was there a 7? I didn't know there was a 7.
Was there a 7?
Well, it became 4 Extra.
Ah.
Oh, we love 4 Extra.
And in that process,
they
stopped commissioning, pretty much.
Although you may well be finished by the time this goes out, loving your work on the Comedy Club.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes,
I don't think he'll be finished. I mean, his career's not on the show.
But there are some... There's a couple of girls who do it who are just... I have to switch off. I have to switch off and then switch on again when I think the... Izzy Sutty is one of them. Can't stand! Oh, my God. It's worse. It's torture for me to listen to Izzy Sutty. Torture. I'm not overstating it.
So you don't like Asda ads? She's also
nice.
A board member of the Alternative Comedy Memorials.
I find her beyond irritating.
Enough.
And usually by
the
10 o'clock at night, I've expended all my energy on other things, like giving little old ladies neck rubs and collecting things for Syria and whatnot. And I've only got one radio and I can't afford to buy another one. Otherwise, I would pick it up and fling it against the wall. So I have to kind of work out...
What you could do is to wrap your radio in just cushions.
Then I wouldn't be able to hear anything.
But
then you get jolly good people on like you. Your links are lovely.
Thanks.
And thank not you. Mass, not just a pile of self-indulgence.
I don't... I sometimes have a lot of fun writing them.
And now tell me, if you're allowed to, you may have to kill yourself after telling us. You presumably just pre-record them all and...
Yes. Yeah, and they don't let me make jokes about it being pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded.
Because I always try and... I always, you know, if you've got someone in who I'm interviewing... who, when it goes out, they will be doing a show at Soho Theatre.
Yeah.
So I thought, can you get... We'll pretend to you to be out of breath. And then, and they're like, no, don't do that. Don't make
such a shame. And it's all that. Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I would love to come back tomorrow. But...
So the Penny Dreadful...
Sorry, you're
successfully.
Well, there's the book as well, which we haven't told anyone about. How do you know that?
Book?
Well, it's the BBC...
Are people not meant to know that there's a book?
I don't know how you know there's a book.
Is there a book?
No!
I know everything.
It's the audiobook, technically, of the...
In print?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it will never be in print, these.
It's an audiobook,
these six.
But it's a book, nevertheless.
Well...
We're all going to join hands and... contact Peter Buckley Hill in a minute.
When, he's not that ill.
Oh, God, but he was very ill.
The man who put the ill into Peter Buckley.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well done.
You don't even get a slap for that one.
Well done. A success. A noble success.
Ooh. Book. Back to the book.
Yeah, back to the book.
Well, Penny Dreadful started getting commissioned through drama on Radio 4 because we couldn't get anything through comedy because...
What? But you're hilarious.
You'd think so.
No, I know so. And I'm Kate Copstick, senior comedy reviewer of The Scotsman. Mm. I know when things are hilarious.
That's who you are.
And
all these episodes.
So we just started getting doing afternoon drama slots. And since we were, you know, quite interested in the mechanics of narrative anyway and how that we can make that sort of work for the jokes we do, it's a lot of fun. Then we did the first one was Guy Fawkes. Mm. Then we did the French Revolution. And we've done six now. And we're doing recording a seventh soon. I'm not sure precisely when. But they've released them in... two tranches, volume one, volume two.
Crikey.
On Audible.
First folio, really.
Through Penguin Random House.
Oh, my God.
Well, the BBC did a sort of bulk deal with them.
You are about as alternative as Theresa May. All you need is a pair of kitten heels.
Yes, well, alternative truth, is that what we are?
Alternative facts, yes. Gosh.
So that's been out, I don't know, for about a week now. I'd no idea.
How did we miss
going.
It, John? How did we miss it?
Some of us didn't, that's why we booked him.
Yeah. Oh right. Ah.
I sent him a press release.
I didn't read it, but I thought I thought, why has he got an H in Tom?
Well, exactly what he's told us now.
Yeah, yeah. Pretension. Yeah. Well, why I've kept it is because it's a balanced four letters with the surname. It looks nice.
Thumbtuck.
Sounds a bit mainstream. Like mainstream.
It's definitely got a like Charlie Chuck, Thumbtuck.
Yeah, I think people do remember my name.
They do. No, definitely they do.
Even if they don't like me, they go, who is that? But by then they've long forgotten disliking anything.
How difficult is it for the comedy night to continually come up with people whose names Tom or Thomas or?
What's this comedy night that we've
Who have you not
we haven't
had?
Mentioned
Tommy Tiernan, I haven't had.
Oh, well, everyone's had Tommy Tiernan when he's drunk.
Tom Foolery, we haven't mentioned it.
Yes, it's Tom Foolery, which is a sort of very low bar for a performer to jump to get onto the thing. Are you called Tom? Fine, you're in.
Yeah.
Well, ask Tommy Shepherd to do it.
Oh!
And you almost did. He almost did. This is the... MP for Edinburgh South. Is it Edinburgh South?
No
Edinburgh
idea.
West?
And why did he not do it?
He's busy being an MP and running a comedy club.
God, that would have been brilliant.
He said, I'm not funny. So it doesn't matter, Tommy. Half the comics working today are not funny. I've just got to be called Tom. Fine, I'll try.
We should have Atomic Kitten on.
Oh.
We've had Eleanor Tom.
Good.
She's done it.
So you haven't had Tommy Tiernan?
No. Tom Green looked like he was going to be maybe coming over to the Fringe last year, but didn't. He did Australia with a new stand-up show, and...
I've got bored again. What else are you doing? What's in the future?
Well, there's a book coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
Who told you about that?
I thought nobody knew about it.
So you've got all these ongoing projects, but is there something that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
Ooh.
Oh, John, steady on. His girlfriend's here.
Juggling, or...?
I'd like to do something feature-length, acting-wise.
Oh, acting-wise?
Really?
I'm getting excited there.
Comedy acting, straight acting?
You've done straight acting. I've done straight acting, yeah.
But if it's feature length, I just want to do something on screen for that amount of time. You know, putting the same thing across, or maybe a main part in a series. So you just haven't
Hang on.
Would you consider porn, Copstick?
Well, I could get you into porn.
Well, I mean, the character development's very, very
thin. No, this would be different. Now, I'm just looking at your sartorial style today. So we've got a kind of chestnut... Well, is it aubergine or chestnut?
Aubergine.
Two-piece velvet jacket.
Well, corduroy and fine velvet cord. Are actually different things.
Fine cord.
Both from Martin needle Spencer's. Needle cord. A year apart.
Crikey. Needle cord, some things never change. Needle cord and velvet with a long scarf. Now, one of the feature-length... waistcoat, checkered waistcoat and floral shirt.
Bowden shirt?
No.
No.
One of the features that I'm working on at the moment is called Dr. Screw. And I'm thinking, you're looking from where I'm sitting, Tom.
I would like at some point.
Yes.
To be considered for Doctor Who. And I think if I did Doctor. Because I don't think anyone who did, let's say, The Matrix XX. Got in any of the sequels?
Well,
probably.
Okay. But
you've got the scarf.
But you forget, Tom.
It's cold.
You forget, Tom, that I'm writing the brilliant, incisive, witty script for this. There would be lines.
Does that change the fact that I'm probably not going to get to be Doctor Who if I do a porn version of it?
Okay, let's. I mean, far be it from me.
Have you written the line "ejaculate" yet?
No, but now you've mentioned it, I will.
That's going in.
All I can say is his sonic
inseminate them.
His sonic screwdriver takes a bit of a bashing.
Right. Yes.
In all ways.
It does sort out all problems, that doesn't it?
It does.
Well, why do you want to be Doctor Who in Doctor Who? Hey, Tom, you should have Tom Baker on your show. Why do you want to be Doctor Who?
Ah. Tom Baker.
He's very rarely at the Fringe. One fight.
Give him time.
Then why do you want to do Doctor Who?
Why wouldn't you want to do Doctor Who? It looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, it does look like a lot of fun, but it's never been the same for me since William Hartnell left. It's all been downhill from then.
Who's your favourite Doctor Who?
William Hartnell.
Mm-hmm. Not Patrick Troughton?
No. He was just kind of grumpy for grumpy's sake.
Did we both see the first episode of Doctor Who the day after Kennedy got shot?
I have no idea, but my thing about Doctor Who is you have to be able to believe that he is brilliant. You know,
William Hartnell.
He has a brain the size of a universe,
and also that he's got the weight of
exactly
the weight of all guilt upon him.
Exactly, not just a nonce hysteric like David Tennant.
Wasn't a fan.
Not, I mean, good. He only had three expressions for about four series.
Smith was quite good.
He was just kind of slightly underfed milksop.
He's got a funny face.
And you didn't believe that he would know these things or be able to do these things. Peter Capaldi just looks like some ghastly old perv.
It's about time.
And I mean, he just looks like he's a recovering alcoholic or
It's just about time he was regenerated, and who better? And it's a good name,
Tom Baker was, well, I thought, jolly good.
My theory of who the next pre Doctor Who should
be. It's Tom Duck.
Yeah, no. Go. Is you?
Jennifer Saunders.
Yes.
Richard Ayoade.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
Donald Trump would be quite good.
He's got a job, famously.
Don't go
not for
there.
Long.
Mm. Don't go there, John, please. But you see, you've dragged everything down now. We're going to be forced into doing some political talk, and that'll just be dull.
Again, no. Anyway.
So why Jennifer Saunders? Why this obsession with having a female Doctor Who? Not yours, but there is a bit of an obsession going on about having to have a female Doctor Who.
Well, I think it makes a lot more sense than the argument about having a black Bond. It's a character that regenerates. Doesn't always have to regenerate into a white man.
Well, we could have Copstick as Doctor Who.
Very
and
true.
Then you, yeah. as, you, and you as her lovely assistant.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more me as Davros. I love that.
You have the look of it, don't you?
I would love that. To be a baddie would be fantastic. I know Davros doesn't sound like that.
I'd love to play a serial killer at some point.
Oh, my goodness. My lovely,
why
lovely,
why
lovely...
play with such things?
My lovely friend Matthew Kelly played a serial killer, and it was wonderful. Because I thought... But he's practically the nicest man on the planet.
Davros.
Like he was...
You'd have to have the bottom
half
of your body...
He's not on the planet, Davros.
You'd have to have the bottom half of your body chopped off. You wouldn't like it.
Frankly, these days, John, I wouldn't miss it. I've not been getting a lot.
What did you want to be when you were, like, 16? Did you want to be a stand-up comedian and a Doctor Who acolyte?
I'm pretty sure I wanted to be funny. I was always a performer, and then I kept getting in school plays. Was always just, well, you be the funny one.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good sign.
That'll do.
The great Mark Steele said to me that the great comics are the ones who could never have been anything else.
Yeah.
So you say to them, so what did you want to be a cop? Well, I didn't even think about it. What would you have been if you weren't a comic? And they go,
dead.
I've absolutely no idea. I couldn't not be a comic.
There's people like Stanhope and Patrice O'Neill. You go like, that's unavoidable. You are a comedian. There's
Michael McIntyre.
But
you're obsessed by Michael McIntyre, what?
I think Michael McIntyre is born to be a light entertainer.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Oh.
That's okay.
He's very good. He's a very good comedian, but he's not a comic in the same way. I think there is a distinction.
Oh, you mean stand-up?
Yeah, stand-up comic, like, on the road, inescapable, there's no destiny beyond the road.
I see what you mean. So once you're on telly doing a shiny floor show, you're no longer a stand-up comic?
No, not necessarily, but I don't think he's...
What about John Bishop? Oh, he obviously wasn't born to be a comic because he spent most of his life not being a comic.
He was in marketing, wasn't he?
Correct, but...
What's his... I wish I hadn't started.
I know, Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr, yeah.
Well, Jimmy Carr is classically not a born comedian. Hmm. Not a born comedian, anyway.
He's a made comedian.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant comedian.
He's a brilliant comedian.
There are people who, like, yeah, if they hadn't found being stand-ups, would have been just drunks in a corner.
Well, exactly. Stanhope would have been an ugly drunk and drug addict.
You can be both,
dead,
Tom. You
basically.
Can be both.
Yes.
Interesting.
But because I don't think Stuart Lee's a natural comic.
No.
He's a comedian. You know what I mean? And he's made himself a comedian, and he's made himself battle-hardened, but he's not a natural... Like, I think if he'd ended up sort of not finding stand-up, becoming a writer of something, you know, a novelist...
Well, that was what he wanted to do.
Well, yeah.
He wanted to be a writer.
But I don't think I'm a natural comic either. So
I suppose Stuart Lee is a writer who performs, isn't he?
Yes. I think Richard Lee is a more natural.
Richard
Herring. Yeah. Sorry, Richard. Oh my God! I've just come up with the perfect comedian. we're going to put them both in test tubes and meld them.
Richard Lee and Stuart.
Now that sounds like a job for Doctor Who.
The Fist of Fun crossed with The Fly.
Exactly, yes. One of these, yes.
Fist of Fun with Richard Lee.
Stuart Lee will just get progressively hairier and hairier and hairier. That could be... Ooh, now. Now, see, that's a recipe for some very interesting...
Composite comedians.
You know, composite comedians.
What do you get if you cross X with Y?
Yes. That was a dead end there. That completely stopped the conversation.
If we'd prepared that, I'm sure we'd have some great bits.
I know. If we'd sent out notes...
Jimmy Cranky with... Yes, dot, dot, dot.
It just shows you that, you know, panel shows are not real. If we'd done this like a panel show, recorded 12 hours of it, had 8 writers, and, you know, a whole day to rehearse, that could have been a brilliant comedy moment.
Absolutely.
Have you been on panel shows? You're ideal for a panel show. You're pretty boring.
Oh, you'd think. Please tell them.
Oh, steady, John.
Please tell them.
Oh, down, Tiger.
I've done tryouts for a number of them.
He's never called anybody a pretty boy, ever.
I have. My granny's budgie.
Yeah, in the podcast, John. I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I felt it was expected, so I didn't want to let you down.
I don't like...
Tryout for existing ones or new
ones? Oh, like helping them test new ones, or when they were doing the last series of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, getting Rod sort of up to scratch with, like, doing it.
And
but
they
didn't see...
This chap's awfully good.
Well, maybe I wasn't.
Well, no, I think you probably... Maybe it was just that...
I've done like, podcasty ones, and... I don't think we've even done one on the radio, but I've done test ones for the radio. Badil's one. I did the tryouts for that. Well, the test.
Oh, that was
test
that...
Don't make me laugh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could suggest hundreds of comics for Don't Make Me Laugh. Christ! What's Izzy Sutty's number?
No.
Anyway.
At least Sarah Millican's off the hook.
But it is... You know, I've been listening to...
You've never listened to anything, Copster.
The Help thingy she does.
The Helpline.
She does a show...
Samaritans.
No. Sarah Millican does a help desk thing where they solve people's problems, which is incredibly contrived, but... I've watched her quite a few times on telly recently and online. She is unbelievably likable.
Mm.
Ooh, she's and Copstick's on
and
the turn.
You just
there's hope for Izzy yet.
You do watch her, and because what was I saw her? It wasn't live at the Apollo. It was anyway. You do get the feeling that you're getting a real person.
Oh yeah.
And she's so relaxed. And just so kind of relaxed and genuine and chatty, but it's nicely formed.
The only time I've ever gigged with her was I was comparing Red Raw in Stan Newcastle. And she wasn't officially on, but they'd put out a tweet going, someone might be dropping in. Mm-hmm. And then everyone looked, who's famous is it? Millican's got a big day today. So sold out completely, because only £2 a ticket.
But
everyone's just delighted to be there for the entire
exactly,
time.
Yes.
Everyone had a great, all the newbies had a great gig. I was comparing, it was really easy. And guess what? And she came and did 20 minutes of news straight after her tour show.
Cool.
Just off a notebook, and was just so relaxed and brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
She just, I don't know whether, I'm not suggesting he write, but I think that the having somebody to bounce ideas off, like Gary, her hubby,
Delaney,
must be great. I'm not suggesting for a second he would write, because they're so different.
But it's probably helpful that they're different,
exactly.
because if something happens to them, let's say, during their life, it's pretty clear who's going to take it. Is that more a huge thing, or is that more a me thing?
Yes, exactly.
Is there a clear punchline?
But
I'll take it, Gary says.
But no, I've really, really, the last time I've listened and watched her, enjoyed it. And I think it's nice to watch a comic, and especially for me, you know, a female comic, and just go, well, I think I can just kick off my shoes, and she seems pretty much in charge. And I like that.
So you're changing your attitude and you're softening your attitude.
Well, no, it's not that.
I was going to say,
I ever, you know, said really was I had no idea she was just like a woman doing chatting, and it wasn't that funny, and she was, you know, right place, right time. And I just never understood why people found... Fine, yes, she's quite funny. I never understood why all of a sudden she was up there, you know, with the John Bishops and...
Uncatered to demographic.
Yeah, well, yes, yes.
Think, people think, she's like me, and she's funny, brilliant.
Yeah, but she's very... She's very easy on the funny bits.
But because you're prepared to change your mind, you should actually see the ACMS again, shouldn't you?
Well, I should probably, yes. Are you as funny as Sarah Millican?
Oh, God. What kind of question is that?
Has Sarah Millican ever done the ACMS?
No, but I've never asked her.
Why?
Don't have a number.
Uh-huh. So, there we go.
Well, you met her twice.
Yeah, I would like to see it again. I think...
Well,
should...
February 13th and February 27th at the Bill Murray.
Oh, right. Well, February 13th I can do. I'm not going out to Kenya till the 17th.
And the 14th, you're busy because it's Valentine's Day,
for the saving
Day,
of the lives.
Yeah, so Valentine's Eve.
Valentine's Eve. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I shall come along on the 13th. I like the Bill Murray.
It's lovely.
Isn't it? So we saw it now, because we have to do a little little review. He's pretending that there's actually some kind of time limit on this.
I thought it was a nice climax there. You're going to throw my climax.
No, I'm not, because we're going to climax again, John. I know it doesn't happen often.
Are we back to Dr. Screw?
No, we're going to climax with the gay night, aren't we?
What's you don't need to be Dr. Screw. Ah, because, you could be a judge or a contestant in The Great British Jerk-Off.
And what's that about?
Well, I'm going to leave you thinking about that, John. It mainly happens in a tent, and there's a lot of cream pies and hot sausage rolls.
And there's loitering within tent?
You see what I have to put up with?